Good afternoon. Thank you so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson here with Tim Marks on the board, Gracie on the phone lines, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome to Live the Promise and a very happy Thursday to you. Today we have one of my favorite guests. This is his fourth time back. And would you believe it? When we have return guests, sometimes we'll talk about different books or different things. But there is so much in this one book that I keep asking him to come back to talk about this book. I just was pondering the whole idea that, you know, part of what it means to be saved by God, see, it just chokes me up to think about it, but that he puts an assignment on our lives, and one that's been assigned to us since before we were born. That was the reason he created us, but so many don't step into that calling. But when you say yes to Jesus and you come into your new identity in Christ, you also have access to this calling and the provision to walk it out. I mean, what an important topic, and that's why we're addressing it today. If we don't understand whose we are and who we are, we'll never walk in our divine destiny and our influence and really make the impact or even be the people that God intended for us to be. So I'm going to tell you about our guest, though he really doesn't need an introduction, and we're going to get him on the show. Gary Barkalow is the founder and director of The Noble Heart, a ministry with the express purpose of helping men and women find their life in God and their calling in this world. He served in leadership positions at Ransom Heart Ministries, Focus on the Family, and Campus Crusade for Christ. Through The Noble Heart, Gary speaks at conferences across the country and around the world. He and his wife, Lee, reside in Colorado Springs with their four children. You can learn more about Gary's ministry by visiting his website at thenobleheart.com. Welcome to the show, Gary. Great to have you with us again.
Oh, Susie, thank you.
As you know, we like to start out our talks and our interviews with scripture, and you chose Ecclesiastes 8:5, and I confess I didn't get a chance to look that one up. What's that verse? Is that the right one?
Of course, now I have to remember it.
Oh.
After I sent it. No, I can find it real quickly. It basically says, and I'm saying basically because I'm looking for it.
So sorry, my fault.
It says the wise heart understands the proper time and procedure.
Mm.
And I'm very captured by that verse, that as God makes us wise, it just with walking with him, understanding scripture, experiencing how God works and what he does and how he thinks and acts, that we develop this heart and we understand the proper time for something, when not to speak and when to speak, when to act, when not to act, and so on, as well as the proper procedure, that we'll know. Well, have this sense of God saying, now, this is what I want you to do in this situation or for this person. And I'm just intrigued by that and want more of that in my life and love how I have seen it to some degrees in my life.
You know, I have to spend some time on that verse. That is profound. And as you're talking, I'm thinking, not only is that grace and wisdom for the moment, but for the long haul, when you think of people in Scripture that had a dream written over their life, there was a time and a place for the whole process, wasn't there?
Yes. Yeah, and see, that's that partly comes with this idea of a trained heart, that God will give us a vision often, a picture, a word, a dream, a desire. And I think we make the mistake sometimes of thinking, well, if it's given to me now, it must be for now, as opposed to just asking, as we always talk about, ask the second question. If the first question is what, the second question is when.
Hmm.
And just to walk in a wise heart of saying, God, is it ready now? Is this the time? Am I ready now? What are you up to? Is it little by little? Which I find is usually the case. It's little by little we walk into the vision and the dream.
Wow, that's excellent. Well, for those who maybe didn't catch your last several times you've been on the show with us, maybe to start out by defining a calling so that we understand where we go from here.
Yeah. I define calling from my research of scripture and historical figures and just the men and women that I talk to in my own life, that I believe a person's calling is the particular effect of their life that God has created them to have. It's not defined by a role, a position, a place. It's more defined by the effect. There is something that we are compelled to do. In fact, let me say it a different way. There is something that we have been compelled to do our entire life. And we may not have noticed it. Maybe we probably noticed it more when we were younger, when our heart was more innocent. and we were just aware of things before the, you know, the pressure of this is what you ought to be doing, this is how you ought to think, this is what you ought to feel, before all of that started happening, we were aware that, you know, when I get in this situation, this is what I want to do. I want to speak. I want to encourage. I want to come along and help. I want to rally. I want to whatever it is. There's a million things it could be, but there is some compelling in us, some effect that we love to have and we've been created to have. So our calling is to let the world that God has assigned us to, that part of the world, that story, experience the effect of our life.
Wow, very well put. Well, if you just tuned in today, you're in for a treat. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, and we have our good friend Gary Barkalow on the line with us today. And we're talking about calling. Maybe you've got some questions as it pertains to discerning what your calling is, or maybe you've hit some roadblocks. Love for you to chime into the conversation today. I actually found an extra copy of his book. I have one copy to give away, so first caller gets it. Everybody else who calls will get a book off our Faith Radio shelf, but you won't like it as much as you'll like this book. No, I'm kidding. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Again, we've talked about this before, but I think it's also an incredibly important point in the way of calling. Make the connection, our spiritual identity to the call of God in our life, because I feel like if we don't know our identity and our position in Him, even our passions will result to striving and even posturing, and then it becomes something that our own flesh tries to do. Make that connection for us.
Yeah, that is such a profound point. If we do not understand our life in Christ, that first of all, as God is our Father, He loves us, He is pleased with our life, He has done everything that is needed in our walk with Him to make us holy, to make us His child. So first we can relax in the pleasure of God over our life. When that is true, when we realize that He owns our life, He loves our life, He's developing our life, then we can be free to explore our own heart, as Philippians 2:13 says, for it is God who is producing in you both the desire and the ability to do what pleases Him. So if we're going to find out the life that we are supposed to live, this life that would please God, we have to look at our heart, at our desires and abilities. But it's very difficult to do that freely, objectively, when we don't rest and understand the love of God in our life. Because if we don't, we will work so hard to please other people or to fulfill other people's expectations that we will always be looking for them for our cues of what we should be doing and how we should be living, instead of looking to our own heart where Christ dwells. And so I just find so many people who are picking up and reading from the scripts that other people have given them, even well-meaning people, but they live there instead of going to their own heart to say, God, what have you written in my heart that tells me the life I'm supposed to live, the calling I have?
You know, it just is amazing because you can take what is a God-given passion and you can start to produce counterfeit fruit, and then find frustration, and then you'd be disillusioned because it's not how it was supposed to be. And you sure can see where if you start on that wrong foot, that you'll stumble all along the way, won't you?
Right. And Susie, that's a good point, that we can even, I can even understand this effect that I love to have, what I bring to the world, and I can use it for fleshly reasons instead of spiritual reasons, even though it's a very good thing and it's who I am. So, right, that's the other side of it, is it is discovering who we are, but then using it for ourselves instead of for the world, and that becomes pretty sour pretty quick.
Absolutely. And yet on the flip side, when we're resting in Him, what He is able to do as we, you know, abide in Him is nothing short of a miracle. And that's the sweet spot, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow, love it. Well, if you just tuned in today, we're having a great conversation about discerning your calling, walking out your calling. In a little while, we're going to talk about obstacles that we face and even the preparation God brings us through. This is really an important conversation because these are places where I think we get derailed in our calling because we get disillusioned. And so we'd love to hear from you. Chime in. Maybe you've got a question or comment. Gary really has got a wealth of wisdom to share. So give us a call, 877-933-2484. We've got Mark calling from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. Welcome to the show, Mark.
Thank you.
How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
My question, I guess, would be basically something like, you know, I hear some of these things on Christian radio and get excited about, you know, applying it to my life, but then trying to explain it to someone else, sometimes they don't really hear it the same way that I heard it or something, or I can't really explain it very well, or...
Like how it sounds in your head doesn't come out of your mouth the same way.
Been there. I have a hard time, I get excited about something, but I have a hard time basically getting others excited. How would I, you know, maybe not everybody can hear it, I don't know, but you know what I'm trying to say or not?
Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, are you talking about something you've heard, an idea, a message, or are you talking just about something in your own life that you're so excited about and you're trying to convey that?
Well, basically, messages that I'm trying to apply to my life. Like, let's say I have a problem with something, I hear a message, I want to apply it to my life, and maybe you don't teach it to others, but it's hard, it doesn't seem to come out as well as what I've heard. Or they don't receive it as well as maybe I did. And then what do you do? Just say, oh never mind, forget it. I don't know.
Right. Okay, Mark, that's I'm just laughing because I know it myself. I've done that myself. So a couple reactions that I have to your statement is one thing you want to be very careful with when that happens is that you don't let that idea of, oh, they don't get it. They think this is ridiculous. They're looking at me as if, you know, I'm an idiot. One, don't let that come at you in the form of an accusation against you, which might sound something like, you know, in your own mind, in your own heart, something like, you know, Mark, you really don't make sense. It's best if you just don't say anything anymore.
That's your calling. You know what I mean? That's what the enemy would say, right?
Oh, exactly. Yeah. That's exactly what he would say to shut you down so that you don't speak anymore. So, one, don't let that happen. You just have to refuse that effect, if you will, of that thought. The other thing is that what I find for me, often I'll read something in a book and scripture, I'll hear something, and I'll do the same thing, I'll tell somebody. And as I'm telling it, I'm thinking, this does not make sense to me anymore because I haven't kind of wrestled with it for a little while, where I've had to really come to grips with the actual words and meaning, and something in my heart goes, oh, that's it, that's so important, but it hasn't been worked in quite enough, kind of wrestled with, kneaded like you would with dough, to the point that then I can say, let me tell you what I heard. In fact, I could even talk you through it versus I can quote it, but if you ask me what it means, I'm not real sure. You know, and that's true for all of us.
Absolutely. And even to talk to somebody like a Gary or a pastor and process through so you can get some words around what's in your heart. Mark, thanks for your call. You get the one copy. It's like gold, Gary's book. Thank you for calling me. See other calls coming in, 877-933-2484. We've got Nicole from Rosemount.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
Doing well.
Good. So my question is just trying to figure out, where do you even start figuring out what your calling is or what you should listen to, or how do you even begin that process?
Great question, Nicole. Go ahead, Gary.
That is. That's a big one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you start? I would say, first of all, you may need to start with, and I don't know what your thoughts of this are yet, but you may need to start with, first of all, what is your understanding of what calling is? Because if we start with a false understanding of calling, we're going to go in a wrong direction as we try to pursue that. So that's why I spent a lot of time talking about it is the effect of your life. It's what you naturally bring to the world. It's what you love to do. It's what, so as Paul says, powerfully works in you. But then from there you have to go to desire, because again, God has written on your heart and my heart the life he wants to live in the form of our desires. Now, but that's a landmine field that we have to be careful we walk through, because not every desire is good. But we have to go to desire as a shrewd person. Now, let me throw out a couple of things. And so it's so hard for me to narrow this answer down. We have to look carefully at our own story, because God has been doing things in our whole life. He's been choreographing, architecting, directing our life. And so we have to be able to go back in our story with eyes to see and ears to hear and look at it and say, so God, where were you in this? What was going on? Why did this person come in my life? When was I most alive and what did I love about who I was and what I was doing? And what were the things that took the, you know, knocked the wind out of me? They hurt me. What did that do to me? What was it shutting down? So we have to look at our life to read what's already there. And then we have to go to our heart in light of that and say, so what is on my heart to do? What am I doing now that makes me most come alive, when I most sense the presence of God in my life? And what are those things possibly that I'm good at doing, but I would prefer not to do again? It brings me no life. Those are some ways we can start.
Oh, that's excellent. Excellent advice. Thanks for that call, Nicole. Susan, she's got a question for you as well. Susan, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
Yes, what's your question for Gary today?
Well, I've been a Christian now for over 25 years, and I've had an awesome experience as far as my conversion, and in that I had dreams, and just the way that the Lord was speaking to my heart at that time. And so I through the years have told my testimony, and just recently, probably a year ago now, I told this to someone, and it was a pastor, and someone I really look up to, and someone who's involved in the ministry that we're doing right now. And his response was, well, perhaps you were overly zealous. And I don't know, in a way that that just kind of broke my heart. And I don't really, I know that I'm serving right now and maybe in a waiting period. But what would your response be to something like this?
And Susie, honestly, feel free to jump in too. You keep deferring and honoring me, but if you know, you jump in as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so in other words, what was happening is the pastor was saying, was he saying you need to stop what you're doing in terms of ministry, or when you shared the dream before, he was saying maybe that dream's not true for you. Maybe you were dreaming this instead of it being reality.
He gave an example of his own life. That he had a dream also about going to South America or something, and said that that dream, you know, didn't come about in his life, and so I kind of feel like it was, you know, how it says about quenching the spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of felt that way. I kind of felt like I was brushed off a little bit in that way, And I know that my dreams were so awesome because I was preaching salvation to multitudes of people, and they were coming up to get saved. And that isn't something I could naturally do, because it would be the Holy Spirit within me that would do that. And I know that God will call us to do things that we can't do ourselves or in our natural selves.
That's very true, and I'm going to jump in because we only have a couple minutes to break, Valerie. I want to thank you for your call, and up to the break and then a little bit after, Gary, we can talk about this. In fact, a number of my questions are about opposition, and I think part of what we're going to find in opposition are the words of people, and I'm not saying this about this pastor, but you will run into people that have the gift of discouragement, don't you think? And that can derail us if we're not totally solid on what it is God's asked us to do, but go ahead and speak to that.
Yeah, you know, many times a person will give a quick word to a situation because maybe they don't feel like they have time to hear anything else, or they think that the quick word will end the conversation, or they're really afraid to go deeper, or perhaps they think they have the answer. And what I find is that to give an answer to someone without understanding their story is to disrespect them in many ways. Sometimes I think the honest thing is to say, I would love to respond to what you're sharing with me, but this will take some time. Can we talk another time? But that, and again, I don't know. I only know what you've told me so far, and I wasn't there. But I would just say that sounded like a pretty quick answer, and it didn't deserve that. It deserved more.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I would throw out is that sometimes a dream isn't the exact picture. It's close. It's something that God is drawing us into a direction. And as we walk in that direction, and that's the important thing, is we have to start walking in that direction, that it becomes clearer and clearer what the details look like. And so, you know, what I would say, Susan, is to keep walking in that direction. Maybe that's just sharing your faith with a few. I don't know. You know, sometimes people have a dream like that, and they're waiting for the auditorium. They're waiting for the, you know, the arena to speak. And I think God says, well, why don't you just try talking to somebody over a cup of coffee, and eventually I'll get you to, you know, the arena. And so I would say don't let that discourage you. Just go with the dream that God has. Ask him what's the next step and start moving in that direction.
Love that. And it's not despising the days of small beginnings,
oh,
you know.
Great verse. Yeah.
Yeah, love that. And even when you said don't let that discourage you, you think about it, it's to move away from courage. And I think how many times people have let go of their calling because someone said something, and maybe they're nursing, I'm not saying you're doing this, Susan, but they're nursing a wound or an offense. And I think that even can keep you from walking out your calling. Are you clinging more to the promises of God or the discouragement that you encountered with that conversation?
Right. That's huge. You know, the tears, the hurt that you feel, again, does it have more to do with the word spoken to you or what it may be saying about your dream, your relationship with God, and your life? Mm-hmm. And to go after that.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be taking a short break in just a moment. Valerie from Ham Lake, you've been holding very patiently. We're going to get you right after the break. After we take Valerie's call, I want to talk to you, Gary, about comparison. And how the sin of comparison can get us so into trouble and we can be tripped up. And I want to ask you a few questions about that because you wrote about that in your book. You're listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson talking to Gary Barkalow today about his great book, It's Your Call. What are you doing here? We want to help you discern your call today. Maybe we can process it with you, or you can even share how you came upon your call, how the Lord really confirmed that call in your life, and what is it? We'd love to know. 877-933-2484. Again, 877-933-2484. If you call in, we'll get you a book from the Faith Radio shelf. We'll take Valerie's call on the other side of the break. And you can also connect with us on Facebook. We've got a number of people chiming into the conversation, and that address is facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. One more time, facebook.com/deeperlifeinchrist. And I wrote a couple of quotes from Gary's book. This one is wonderful. God is always sowing, planting, counseling, and speaking to his people. Wrote that on Facebook just now. God bless you. Stay with us. More with Gary Barkalow in just a moment. At the end of the day, that's what it's all about. We were made and created to worship the living God. We love him so much here. So glad you tuned in today. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. We're talking to our friend Gary Barkalow. He's got a great ministry, The Noble Heart, to help people discern and walk out their call. I love his book, It's Your Call. This is his fourth or fifth time on the show. And I just told the producer during the break, I haven't even touched my notes yet. So I feel another show coming on. But we'd love to hear from you if you'd like to chime into the conversation. 877-933-2484. And Valerie from Ham Lake says she's tried many callings but keeps kind of coming up short. Wants to talk to you about that. Welcome to the show, Valerie.
Well, oh, thank you so much.
Absolutely. Thanks for waiting.
I raced home to listen to your show because I love it so much.
Oh, I'm so glad. Thank you.
Well, the reason I'm calling today is I have been on a long journey to find what my calling is, and I've prayed and waited and prayed and waited, and I've gone to school and I've talked to mentors and I've done a lot of things, and I always end up in the same spot. And I'm currently employed full time, and I have a job that I do not like, and it's making me miserable, and it's starting to make my husband miserable. And I'm just at a loss. I don't know what else to do, and I just feel that, not that God's abandoned me, but I just don't get any direction, and I don't know where to turn anymore.
Stay on the line in case Gary has more questions for you, Valerie. I'm so glad you called, and go ahead, Gary, see if you have something to say to her.
Yeah. You know what, Valerie, I'm wondering if I'm hearing just the pain of feeling like maybe there is no calling on your life, that maybe, yours is a life of just doing what needs to be done. Others have a calling, you don't. And the only reason I say that is that's what most of us feel like. We feel like, gosh, me, I've tried really hard to find a calling. I can't find it. I guess I just have to live a life I really don't enjoy living, but I'll just live a moral life. And that's just not true for anyone. Yes, we're to live a moral life, but that's not the goal of our life. That's not why we're here. We're here because we bring something to the world, and as we do, it brings us alive. So I guess one of the things several things I would throw out. One is that it's, I don't know, well, there's a couple issues. One is it's the job that you have. I think that if a person, even if they have a good job and it utilizes, it requires a good part of them, if we are not really offering our real heart, what we really are compelled to bring to the world, even the best job's going to be miserable after a while. Everything becomes miserable because we're not living authentically out of who we are. We're not being ourselves, if you will. So what I wouldn't do is look particularly at the job you're in. And again, remember, a job is not a calling, nor is a place or a position or a title. I think what you need to go to, you're searching for this. The core of this is what is it that God has written on your heart? What's the deepest desire of your heart? What are you compelled to bring? What makes you come most alive? Because as you find that, you can be doing that in the life you have right now, with the job you have right now, and all of your other responsibilities. You can be doing that, and it's amazing how that will start to change everything.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's you and God, and you're being authentic, you're being... another word for purity is unmixed. And we tend to think of purity as moral purity, but Jesus meant more than that. He meant we're unmixed, we're ourselves. We're not ourselves and somebody else in another image and another person. So that's the first thing you go after. And what you'll need to do, this is going to be hard because right now your heart feels heavy and under attack. So it's going to be hard to read your heart well and your desires, but you've got to try to go there. And you're going to need the eyes of others, like your husband, who can be able to say to you, Valerie, when I have seen you most alive, most happy, most engaged is when you are, and I don't know what that is, and start, and just all you have to do is pick up the scent and then follow that for a while, and more than likely God's going to say, you're right, you're on it, we're getting there, that's true, we're going to get to something truer. So,
excellent advice.
Susie, your thought?
No, I love what you're saying. I wondered if we could just say a prayer for Valerie right now. You want to do that, Gare?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Father, we pray first that you would protect Valerie's heart right now. Jesus, you said that, you told the Father, you said, Father, please don't take them out of the world. They're needed, but protect them from the evil one. And we pray for that, that you would protect her heart now from every form of accusation, every form of oppression, every form of discouragement and diminishment. We pray that you would protect her and you would mute every voice other than your own to her right now. And we do pray that you would, Father, enter into her into her mind, into her thinking, into her memories, into her reasoning. Father, we pray that you would bring to her now memories of times when she was most herself, when she was most alive, that it would portray who she really is and what you've written on her heart. We pray that you would bring that there. And Susie and I pray that you would give her the perseverance to stay in this.
Mm-hmm.
And we pray also for her husband that you would give him discernment, eyes to see, ears to hear for her as well.
Yes, Lord, and I lift up Valerie as well, and we agree, Lord, that you've put a divine call in her life, that you adore her, that you love her, that you sing over her, and you made her for a purpose. And so awaken her to your purposes, Lord. I pray even today, tonight, tomorrow, that she would see opportunities in front of her to be used by you, and that would start to that pitter-patter in her heart. And I thank you by faith that you will lead her in the way that she should go.
Yeah.
In Jesus' name. Yeah. Amen. Thank you, Valerie. We welcome you to join us in this conversation, 877-933-2484. Gary, I want to talk to you about comparison on two sides. On one side, I did a lot of just kind of research about this. And, you know, when we start to compare ourselves to others and we start to envy other people's callings, you know, Scripture talks about how it's really right up there with drunkenness and all kinds of, I mean, it becomes demonic when we become jealous and envious of others. And yet, we're going to see things in other people that maybe bear witness to what God wants to do in us. So first talk to the person maybe who struggles with, I'm not there yet. You know, I'll never probably be there. What do I do, and how do I process and reconcile these feelings of envy and jealousy?
Yeah, and you made a great point that I do believe that often what happens for us is we see someone that has something similar to us, a similar effect, a similar glory, a similar calling. And that should call us forward to say, oh, I'm starting to see what that looks like, and I want to be more like that. But the danger is when we say, I want to be that.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a side. I mean, often we start in what God has given us to do in the form of imitation. It's all we know. And so we imitate for a while, and then we have to go to, you know, originality, who we really are in it, not imitate another person. You know, this verse, Galatians 6:4 in the Message version says, make a careful exploration of who you are and the work you've been given, and then sink yourself into that. Don't be impressed with yourself, and don't compare yourself with others.
Mm-hmm.
Each of you must take responsibility for doing the creative best you can with your own life. So the Scripture says, don't compare. Be very careful. Don't compare. And it's just natural. I mean, I think it's what we do, which isn't a good thing. So I think comparison can hurt us on two sides. One is the comparison. We compare ourselves to someone else, and then what happens is diminishment enters in. You know, you're nothing like that person. You're fooling yourself to think you could ever be like that or be able to do that. And that diminishment then brings us to the point of giving up. We just give up. And so that's why I tell people, all you have to do, if you want to assess the origin of a thought, play it out to its conclusion in a second. So if I get this thought and I think, man, look at them, they're so good, I'm not even close to that. If I play that out for a second, I realize that's going to go to discouragement and then giving up. Well, that's not a thought from God then, obviously.
Very good. Very good.
So you play that out. So one is comparing ourselves to another person and then feeling diminished in it. Now let me stop there one real quickly and say this, that the glory of another person should never diminish our own glory. We all carry something that's unique to us and very weighty. So we should be able to look at another person's glory, their calling, their effect, and admire it, enjoy it, be happy with it, learn from it. But that does not diminish our own, ever.
That is such a good word, Gary. I just have to jump in here because, and I may regret saying this on live radio, but I'm going to just put myself out there. I often get compared to Beth Moore, and I think it's because of our blonde hair, our humor, our passion, and our love for the word, but I am no Beth Moore. And so I know people mean to compliment me, and I receive it from them as such, but you know how the enemy uses that against me on a daily basis? You ain't no Beth Moore. I mean,
right.
You've written 7 books. She's written a gazillion books. You've sold X amount of copies. She's sold a gazillion copies. And I'm telling you what, I have to battle. I mean, I pray for her. I celebrate her gift. I love what God has done and how God has used her. But I have to battle to get out from underneath that, Gary, because I hear it so often. And reading that this morning, I think, is what made me cry in your book, because it's like she has her place and I have mine. And it's different. But it's really hard to break loose of that because I hear it so much. So what do you say about that?
Right. Oh, I you know, I have the same thing, you know, in that I worked with John Eldridge for years, and so they will compare me to John, you know, it's just not fair. I you know, I'm not John. I don't have a million book sales of one book and all those kind of things. I don't have those things, but I tell you what, I think the trap is that we could fall into is either we diminish ourselves because of it, or we diminish the other person.
Right.
And it's so easy to go, oh, them, oh, they're a wreck, you know. And that's not helpful. I mean, I'm not saying that we do that publicly, but we do that in our heart so that we feel better about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just not helpful. The whole comparison thing is so deadly.
It is deadly. That's a good word. One thing the Lord showed me that I thought was so profound is he said, when you're tempted even to be jealous of someone, if you just take a few steps back, you'll see something in them that's an inheritance for you. And so if you can celebrate their gift and say, you know, Lord, I bless them, but there's some, because I might find something in somebody that would not do anything for you, Gary, but it does for me because it's a part of my inheritance. As I pray for them and steward well what God's given them and what he's given me, then it becomes like their fruit is my fruit. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm stewarding well what I see in others, not only what God's doing in me.
Right. And, you know, and I think the other thing, often what happens is if we're aware of the danger of comparison, then when we sense that kind of rising up in our heart, often I think the mistake we make is we just tell ourselves, stop it. Stop it. Now, yes, we need to stop doing that, but I think the more powerful approach to that is, why am I tempted to do this? What is it about them that I admire that resonates with probably maybe somewhat who I am? Let that be a discovery process. And then on the other side, if it goes to diminishment, to be able to say, so what is it about this that makes me think that I can't become what God wants me to be? Now, not them. I'm not supposed to become them, but what is it about them that's showing me something about who I am? And what's in the way that makes me want to go to diminishment instead of inspiration?
Why, that's really good. Well, you're speaking of diminishment. You've got these 4 points, so these enemies' intention to separate us from our call. And let's talk about those since we're on this. So that first one you talked about was distance. And you said Satan, this was amazing. I put this one on Facebook as well. Satan usually very quickly offers an understanding or interpretation of a situation with the intent to distance you from what is truest about you. His lies are always at the level of the heart because your heart determines the course of your life. That's one of those statements that can knock you right over. Talk about how that enemy tries to distance ourselves from our truest selves, which, you know, then it's like where the thoughts go, so goes the rest of our lives.
Right. I think the greatest or the core primary tool that the enemy uses to distance us from our own heart and desires, because if he does that, we're lost, right? If we have to look at our desires to understand the life that God wants us to live, our calling, that he needs to keep us away from those desires. So I think the primary tool he uses would be wounding, that we get wounded by certain things, right, that so that we think, you know what, I don't even want to get close to that desire anymore because every time I do, I get hurt significantly. And usually that hurt comes through other people. I mean, our most significant wounds are around relationships. They're not about, you know, a job we couldn't do or a skill we couldn't master. It's not those things. It's in relationships. And so he will come at us. Now, what makes it so hard with the enemy is that he is this master of reinterpreting situations.
Mm.
I mean, we've all had this, right, where we felt so hurt by somebody, a friend, a parent, our spouse. And then when we finally talked to him about it, they said, well, that's not what I said. I mean, I wasn't even thinking that, and we were convinced they said that. We heard it through their eyes, you know. And then when you're done, you realize that was not their intent. They never did say that. And I'm thinking, okay, now who was it that actually reinterpreted that for me so clearly that I went in this direction of profound hurt? And so that's what's hard is the enemy can he can inflame those things that were done against us, which were truly awful. Or he can create something bad that was never bad in the first place.
And then we react to that and by our own choices derail our calling. That's
exactly.
Amazing when you think about it.
Oh, it is. It's so amazing that when you talk to a person and you start probing into their heart and their desires, you will always find a multitude of wounds there. You always find them. And that's what he's aiming at. And so most people are blocked either from owning their own desires or discovering them because of things that have happened to them. And yet God will give us little glimpses when those desires kind of popped up to the surface, you know, through our life. So, yeah, that distancing tactic is huge that the enemy uses to distance those wounds and things that happen to distance us from the desires of our heart.
And to be so aware of that, and so that we can ask those probing questions, you know, what message, what's my takeaway here? and what's true. What's the, you know, what's the truer thing? Well, the second one you touched on, I'd love for you to expound on, is diminishment. And here's another great quote. The enemy's intention is to get you to view, your weightiness as less than it is, and therefore convince you not to offer it. And in the book, you talk about the weightiness of our calling and of the glory within us because of Christ. So his intention is to get us to view it as less than, so we don't have, feel like we have anything to offer. Talk about that.
Right. That, and the main tactic is, as far as diminishment goes, is this idea of comparison. Now, okay, so if we refuse to let the enemy distance us from our own desires, okay, so we deal with our wounds, we walk into those things, we go after the desires of our heart, we're refusing to distance ourselves anymore from our heart and our desires. Then he says, okay, if you're going to go after your desires to understand them and walk in your calling, then I'm going to get you to try to diminish what you discover to the point that it seems as an embarrassment to you to offer it. And so the comparison comes up, right? Someone else's, the way they talk to people, or they speak, or they write, or they counsel someone, or they nourish and encourage, whatever it is. And he'll put someone in front of you and say, you're nothing like that. You are so prideful thinking you have something to offer or that anybody would want anything from you. And we allow that to circulate in our heart to the point that we think, you're right. I'm not going to let go of it, but I'm certainly not going to answer it because it's just almost embarrassing what I have to offer. And the hard thing about those things, that those accusations about the weightiness of our life, our particular brilliance, strength, beauty, all those words that I talk about that mean glory, that as we allow those accusations to find a place in our heart, we actually start to judge ourselves. And Paul makes it very clear that we are not to judge other people nor ourselves. And the day will come when God will judge others and he'll judge your own works. But he says, don't judge yourself. Don't do that. And it's funny, as believers, I think we feel the seriousness of judging other people, that we should not be doing this. There's something in our heart that says, that's wrong. Don't do that. And, you know, I do it anyway. Less than I used to. I've tried to catch myself. But we don't often catch ourselves when we judge our own heart. And God says, don't do that. Don't do that. Let me judge your heart. Let me judge these things. Don't do that.
You know, I did a study on the word judgment once, and it means to come to a conclusion, to sum up and to make a decision. You think of how final that sounds. And if we're in agreement with the enemy and then we come to a conclusion, boy, that leads us to a dead end, doesn't it?
And that's such a good point, Susie, because we are to be discerning, right? We need to watch our heart. Well, we need to guard our heart, as Proverbs 4:23 says, guard our heart above all things because it is the wellspring of life. So we're to watch it, guard it, discern it, analyze it, but we are not to make a judgment. We're not to write it off, write a sentence over it. That's such a good point, Susie.
Excellent. All right, so disdain. Talk to me about that.
Okay, so if the enemy can't get us to distance ourselves from our heart, we pursue our heart and our desires, and we won't allow accusations to find a place in us where we diminish the weightiness of our life, then often what he'll do is he'll try to get us to a point where we disdain the effect of our life, the thing that God has put in us, that thing that works so powerfully in us. And that often comes through situations where we are shamed for what we do. We are criticized again and again for something to the point that we say, you know what, God, I am so tired of seeing the things I see, because when I see them and I say them, I get hurt every time. I get shut down. And so I just want you to take this away from me. I don't want to see this way. I don't want to know these things. I don't want to be able to do these things, whatever that is. And we actually come to the point of disdaining who we really are and what God's put in our heart. And so what we need to do when those situations come up, that's where we need to say, all right, God, what's the story here, right? What is really going on that I don't perceive? Is this person simply, reacting to me out of their flesh? Are they just hurt? Is it just them? And it's not me. I mean, it's not what I did. It's them. Or is it the enemy misinterpreting to me what just happened? Or, God, are you telling me, you know what, we just have some training to do. You offered it. I applaud that. I love that. But I need to train you more accurately how to offer that, how to do that. But just to go to the point of disdain, where it's just, God, just turn this off, make this stop, that's a dangerous place to be.
Well, again, because it's out of, you're not in agreement with God anymore. I heard somebody say once that God has a plan for your life, the enemy has a plan, and you're the one who casts the deciding vote. So depending on where your agreement is really determines where your life goes. So, wow. Well, we just have a couple minutes left. I'm wondering if you'd just touch on disqualification.
Yeah, and that's the card that it seems like the enemy plays when the others don't work so well or as well as he wished. And that's where he comes back and he says, Gary, I know what you've been thinking. I know what you did. I know what you did when you were a teenager. Or whatever it is, he plays that with us, and he says, you're disqualified. What makes you think that you have a place in the kingdom of God? You don't. God is upset with you. You are just trying to find a place here. You're disqualified. You've crossed the line. And, boy, that's easy to give into. You know, the enemy knows that our heart, when we come to Christ, that our heart is very sensitive to sin. And I believe the enemy has no problem convicting us of sin because he wants us to go to isolation. He wants us to go to shame and guilt where we isolate ourselves away from God, away from other people, and away from our own heart. And that's the effect he wants. And I think he'll convict us in that way, that playing that disqualification card. But that won't work if we are grounded in Scripture. And we understand that the callings and the gifts of God are irrevocable, as it says in Romans. If we understand that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ, and if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So if we're grounded in Scripture, we can fight those disqualification thoughts that come to us that the enemy gives us and say no. And in fact, we turn it on him by saying, you know what? The Bible says he who is forgiven much loves much. And I love God all the more because I realize how much he has forgiven me for. Mm.
And the fact that you take the time to mess with me means the opposite is true.
Exactly.
I'm a big deal.
Exactly.
But, you know, and the grace of God. But really, it took me a while to put my shield up and say, I'm not taking this anymore. And we have to have you back in July. I literally do have about 6 pages of notes I never got to. But I want to talk about the preparation process. But also, Gary, the grit involved, because to walk this thing out is not an easy thing, is it?
It isn't. And you know what? As you say that, that's such a great point. And I think about some of the callers that we talk to. Many people are taken out because this is so hard. And they think it's them. They think, what is wrong with me? Why don't I get this? Why can't I get this quicker? Or what does God have something against me? He doesn't seem to help me in this. Why is this so hard? It all gets back to why is this so hard? And what I want to tell everyone is it is hard for everyone.
Absolutely.
We have an enemy. This is something valuable that we have to fight for and discover and then start to offer.
Yeah, we're going to cross that finish line with some dirt on our face, you know, some calluses on our hand, but it is going to be worth it. It is hard for everyone. And that's one of the reasons we exist even on this show, is to help equip, strengthen, and encourage our listeners, because this is a battle. And you're doing such a beautiful job equipping people, Gary. Thank you for your time today.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm glad we're going to try to do this in July. The more, the better.
Absolutely.
I love talking with you.
Same with us. And I want to ask, if you wouldn't mind, as we close out, if you would pray for that person who's right exactly where you just described, this is hard, I'm wondering, you know, if God is not for me, that they wouldn't give up, that they would not grow weary. I wonder if you could pray for them.
Mm-hmm. Father, I do pray for this person and for all of us, that you would continually remind us by your Holy Spirit that you love us as a father, you are proud of us, you are with us, you will not give us anything more than what we can handle, and you have something glorious for us, that what you are calling us into has more joy to it than what we're currently experiencing. It's all good. So, Father, I pray that you would encourage each person, remind them of who they are to you and who you are to them. And I pray that you would give them perseverance. I pray that they would even start to relish the idea that what they're going through, this hardship, is actually going to produce something really invaluable called perseverance and diligence. And it is a beautiful thing. So remind them, Jesus. Give them strength, the strength of heart that they need.
Mm. Yes, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
All right, Gary, I want to give your website one more time. It's thenobleheart.com. Check it out. And check out the book, It's Your Call. Gary, thank you so much for your time today.
Susie, thank you. It's been so much fun. Thank you.
Yeah, and don't hang up, remember?
I won't.
All right. You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm Susie Larson, and you can find a podcast of this interview up on our website at faithradionet.com. This is one of those shows I'm asking you, share with your friends by a click of a button. You can tweet it. You can put it on Facebook. You can email it. And this, everybody has a call of God in their life. And so I really believe this is one of those shows that will encourage you and your friends. And we're all about mobilizing the army of God so that we can all step into our God given call. So do share it. Find it at faithradionet.com. Tomorrow we're talking to Dr. Neil Anderson about his best-selling book, The Bondage Breaker, talking about how to disentangle from these things that hold us back, from the things God has for us. So tune in tomorrow, 3 to 4 o'clock. Finally, guess what? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong.